Prayer is another basic we need to get right. Here is a story I've read. A pastor was on his way to church with his 3-year-old daughter. On the way, the pastor remembered an urgent message he was supposed to give his wife. He reached for his cellular phone and notified his wife. As he was hanging up the phone, his daughter inquired with fascination, "Who do you call, Daddy? Did you call God?" In using the analogy of the handphone, Hodgen writes, "Prayer is the cellular link to God for every Christian." How often do we use this ready resource? It is online, whenever and wherever we need to communicate with our Heavenly Father. This brings us to a most important question, Roman numeral 1. Do we pray? Do we pray? Here's a mother who's a woman of prayer. Once a pastor said to the mother's naughty 6-year-old boy, "So your mother says your prayer, you pray for me each night. Very commendable. What does she say?" The little boy replied, "Thank God, he's in bed." Just as the mother is a woman of prayer, many Bible characters are noted for their prayers. Nehemiah was one of them. We saw that in Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 4 to 9 when we're doing the series on the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah prayed, he recognized sin's offensiveness. He acknowledged God's greatness. He requested God's forgiveness. And he appealed to God's faithfulness. Elijah and Elisha were two examples. Letter A, the example of Elijah. The example of Elijah. The story goes that a tragedy had taken place in the home of the woman of Zarephath. We are told in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 to 18, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and the sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, 'What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?'" Without debating or arguing or explaining to the woman, Elijah exhibited a lesson on compassion and asked her for a son. He carried him to the chamber where he lived and laid him on the bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 20. This is what prayer is. Crying out to God. And then came the great miracle, stretching himself, presumably by God's instruction, upon the body of this child 3 times, and crying to the Lord, he said in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 21, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again." And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Elijah. And 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22 says that the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Not only do we have the example of Elijah, we have letter B, the example of Elisha. The example of Elisha. Elijah's miracle was a valid analogy to a later miracle accomplished through Elijah's servant Elisha, in which there was a resuscitation from death to natural life again. The boy of a Shunammite woman was out in the field one day, probably as a teenager. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18. And suddenly, he was smitten with a terrible headache. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 19. And cried out in agony. Again, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 19. And when he got home, he died. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 20. Elisha, following the Shunammite woman to the home and to the chamber, confronted a situation comparable to that which Elijah, his master, had faced years ago when with the widow of Zarephath. He found himself in the presence of a departed soul, remembering perhaps Elijah's explanation of how he raised the widow's son. As David and Whitcomb notes, Elisha demands privacy and time for fervent prayer. Time for fervent prayer. Thomas Watson says, when the fire of fervency is put to the incense of prayer, then it ascends as a sweet odor. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 33 says, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Elijah has stretched himself three times upon the dead child before God granted life. But Elisha did this only twice. And after the first time, he could detect warmth returning to the boy's flesh. So prominence is given to prayer in the Bible. The examples of Nehemiah, Elijah, Elisha, and many others in the Bible show the importance of prayer. If that is the case, are we men and women of prayer? Are we men and women of prayer? I've learned an important prayer principle over the years. Someone once said, people forget to pray for others in direct proportion to the frequency with which they say, I'll pray about that. People forget to pray for others in direct proportion to the frequency with which they say, I'll pray about that. Are we really men and women of prayer? Do we really mean it when we say, I'll pray about that? But don't make prayer a mere routine we just have to go through. Roman numeral 2, how not to pray. How not to pray. And letter A, prayer is not a routine. Prayer is not a routine. Don't make prayer a mere routine we just have to go through. Another pastor was visiting in the home of one of the church members. A small boy in the home started reaching for the potatoes before the blessing was said. His mother gently scolded him. The boy was confused. Why were they at the table except to eat? As the adults bowed their heads to say grace, the child suddenly caught on. As his father started to pray, the boy shouted, "Hey Dad, could I be the one who talks to the plate this time?" Hodgin remarks, there are times when prayers have so little forethought and passion that those who are offering these prayers could easily be talking to their plates. That was precisely what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6 verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Letter B, prayer is not selfish. Prayer is not selfish. May I ask you a question? What are we all looking for when we pray? What are we all looking for when we pray? Here's an illustration. A 5-year-old was attending a wedding some years ago with her grandmother. She had been in Sunday school but had never attended a formal church service. During the wedding, the pastor said, "Let us pray." Each person bowed his or her head in prayer. The little girl looked around and saw their heads bowed and eyes turned toward the floor, and she cried, "Grandmother, what are they all looking for?" What are we all looking for when we pray? Are the prayers selfish and petty prayers? Or do we pray for spiritual blessings such as understanding, power over sin, and blessing in witness? Do we pray for others? Were Nehemiah's, Elijah's, and Elisha's prayers selfish and petty prayers? Remember what James chapter 4 verse 3 says. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Selfish prayers. We are told that Jonathan Edwards, under whose ministry the 1734 to 1735 Great Awakening took place, prayed and fasted 3 days and three nights. He asked the Lord repeatedly, "Give me New England! Give me New England!" After he came out of his prayer for others, and he made his way to the pulpit, it was said that he appeared as if he had been gazing straight into the face of God. It was said that even before he began speaking, conviction had already fallen upon the listeners. May God grant us that kind of concern for others. Do we pray? If we do, how not to pray? If we do, Roman numeral 3, how to pray? How to pray? Letter A, the right heart. The right heart. We must be men and women of prayer. But what is the best posture for prayer? I'm sure some of you will have heard this story before. Three pastors were talking about prayer in general and the appropriate and effective positions for prayer. As they were talking, a telephone repairman was working on the phone system in the background. One pastor felt that the key was in the hands. He always held his hands together and pointed them upward as a form of symbolic worship. The second suggested that real prayer was conducted on one's knees. The third suggested that they both had it wrong. The only position worth its salt was to pray while stretched out flat on your face. By this time, the phone man couldn't stay out of the conversation any longer. He interjected, "I found that the most powerful prayer I ever made was I was dangling upside down by 1 foot from a power pole suspended 40 feet above the ground." This story tells us that it is not so much the posture, but the heart that matters. Prayer ought to be offered from the heart under any and all circumstances. Again, may I remind you of Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, which says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." I've heard that when God measures a man to see whether he is a man of prayer, he puts the tape measure around his heart, not his mouth. Once prayer is offered from a heart condition appropriate to the occasion and circumstance, the right body posture and attitude would naturally follow. Not only do we need to have the right heart, we need to have, letter B, the right mindset. The right mindset. Never think that God's delays are God's denials. We need to have the right mindset. Hodgin tells the story of a lone shipwrecked survivor on an uninhabited island who managed to build a rude hut in which he placed all that he had saved from his sinking ship. He prayed to God for deliverance, and anxiously watch the horizon each day to hail any passing ship. One day, he was horrified to find his hut in flames. All that he had was gone. To the man's limited vision, it was the worst that could happen, and he cursed God. Yet the very next day, a ship arrived. "We saw your smoke signal," the captain told him. Never, never think that God's delays are God's denials. God's responses are not just yes or no. God's responses are yes, no, or wait. That is the right mindset we should have. It should include the possibility that the Lord is telling us to wait. God will answer prayers in His own time, and we have to wait upon Him. There was a mindset that King David had when he said in Psalm 130 verses 5 to 6, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. See also Psalm 25 verses 1 to 5, Psalm 27 verse 14, Psalm 39 verse 7, and Psalm 40 verse 1, just to name a few others. The right heart, the right mindset, let us see, the right accompaniment, the right accompaniment. Lastly, we need to have the right accompaniment. Our prayers should be accompanied by faith. Prayer and faith are related. Consider a fireman telling a kindergarten class what to do in the case of a fire. He said, "First go to the door and feel the door to see if it's hot. Then," he said, "fall to your knees." Does anyone know why you ought to fall on your knees? One of the little children said, "Sure, to start praying, to ask God to get us out of this mess." A humorous illustration, but it demonstrates the faith of the child. Thomas Watson puts it so aptly when he says, "The reason why so many prayers suffer shipwreck is because they split against the rock of unbelief. Praying without faith is shooting without bullets. When faith takes prayer in hand, then we draw near to God." Did the Lord say anything about this? Oh yes! He said in Luke chapter 11 verses 5 to 10, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.' I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," that is persistence, "he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Yet because of his importunity, that is persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Your persistence in prayer shows your faith. How persistent we are in prayer will reveal how strong our faith is. Do we pray? If not, if we do, how not to pray, and how to pray. William Carey was once reproached for spending so much time in prayer that he neglected his business. He replied, "Prayer is my real business. Cobbling shoes is a sideline. It just helps to pay expenses." R.A. Torrey, he once said, "Pray for great things. Expect great things." That's faith. "Work for great things. But above all, pray." Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. How have you responded to adversities? Has prayer been one of your responses? As I close this morning's message, may I remind you of God's promise in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, to provide peace to those who pray during adversity. This passage reads, "Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Don't be like an ostrich with his head buried in the ground. No matter what the adversity in your life, if you keep your head buried in the sand and fail to look up to God in prayer, you'll never face your adversity. The Lord helps us face our adversities and overcome them. So look up to God in prayer. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Remember, our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always." Lo, I am with you always. Will you stand together with me, please? Eyes closed, don't be looking around, don't be moving around. I would like to encourage you to spend a few moments now praying specifically about the adversities you're experiencing. And if you're not experiencing any adversities, pray for the adversities that others are experiencing. As Sister Chow Ing begins to play a tune, and I'll close in prayer thereafter.